There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join Famico Publishers in supporting AM360, where we're helping to build the model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Critical Issues. Hosted by our beloved Dr. Jamal Rashid. Dr. Jamal Rashid, you are live and on the air.
Thank you, Imam Hamid. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa tahu la sharika la wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Brothers and sisters in the blog or radio listening audience, again, we greet you with the greetings of peace of assalamu alaikum. Tonight, inshallah, we'd like to continue on our most needed conversation or communication, and that is, it is imperative that we understand self. Self-awareness is a form of education. You know, we often reiterate the importance to understand that education is more and goes far beyond academics. And unfortunately, a vast majority of people, regardless of their ethnicity, their nationality, their religion, their gender, or their socioeconomic status, are not aware of this reality. And that is, again, education is more and goes far beyond academics. Now, we could easily conclude that if a person is illiterate academically, they are at a disadvantage. You know, that's not hard to conclude that reality. Again, that anyone who is academically illiterate is at a disadvantage. And so we never should downplay or de-emphasize the importance of academic education. That's not what we're saying when we say education is more and goes far beyond academics. Academics, yes, is an important form of awareness. But the point is that anybody that is illiterate, that is, they are lacking some skill in the academic arena, we could easily conclude that anybody that fits that realm of not being aware or mastered various skills, then we could easily conclude that they are at a disadvantage. Well, likewise for people who are lacking skills or awareness in other forms of literacy. That is, we know that people who are emotionally unstable are at a disadvantage. Not only do they have defects that hurt themselves, but their defects hurt a lot of people around their vicinity. And so, you know, we can go in all other areas of where literacy is a required standard in order to be successful. Or in order, and when we refer to the word success, we're talking about improvement where you don't hurt yourself. And so I'm going to repeat that because I just, you know, became aware of that, is that anybody that is lacking skill, where their lack of skills are really an enemy to themselves, because that lack of awareness caused them to hurt or harm or do damage to themselves. Okay? And you see how illiteracy can be a detrimental creation. And again, we repeat creation. Because we see how everything in this overall vast creation, human beings are one of the few creations that have abilities to cause problems in other realms of life. And so when we look at the responsibility or obligations or responsibilities of human beings, then we are basically responsible for our own destruction that could be formed in what's called self-destruction. You know, and so when we get back into the overall subject, words make people, then it is, again, imperative that we have a much better understanding that words are basically the overall identity that have the abilities to empowerment or to improve life, or in contrast, negative words have the ability to cause chaos or detrimental confusions that many people encounter. Yes, sir.
Yes, we have with us this evening our brother Henry Hasid. Assalamu alaikum, brother Henry Hasid.
Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to let you know I was on the line. So, still stuck in traffic, but I am on the line. So, I'll make a comment as you.
Okay, great. And welcome back. I know I'm happy that you made a safe journey on your trip, and you've made it back. It was a pleasure again in seeing you, even though we spent a short time together. But I really was definitely very happy and pleased to see you in person. As and hopefully, inshallah, we'll be able to spend much more time together next time, inshallah, that we meet or see each other again. And so, moving on, Brother Henry, if you feel anytime you're ready to make a comment on our subject, words made people, feel free, because our time is limited, and we want to invite the audience that if you have a question or comment pertaining to the subject matter, we like to keep our comments and questions centered around words make people and how it influences or have either positive or negative impact on our individual, family, and community lives. You know, again, it's an imperative that we understand that powerful soundbite. And we're speaking of words make people. To further emphasize our definition as human beings, when you look at it, we as human beings are a collaboration of sound bites. You know, a lot of people are detrimentally affected because they have, for example, fell off of and have a strong belief that their origin is in sin. You know, just born in sin is three words, but those three words have caused enormous tragedy. within individuals themselves, and it has had a negative impact towards those individuals' family life, and it rolls into their community life, where we are basically combating or encountering a society of hectic realities that people have a strong belief that they are no good. And, you know, we can define human beings as beliefs. What are our beliefs? And if you really, if we look at it more deeper, many times people believe that they don't have a fighting chance in being successful, even though their origin in coming in this world was that of a winner. So that's a conflicting view of our origin. And scientifically, we know, and what we're specifically referring to is how physical life comes into play, is that that one sperm that was successful out of millions happened to be everybody that's listening to this broadcast tonight. Out of millions of sperms, and that is the reality, is that one sperm that made it to that egg cell in the fallopian tube where most life begins was successful. But yet, the same audience, many people in that audience or in this audience have a false notion or perception of their origin. And that is because they have fed into a soundbite. Since words make people, they have fed into and actually believe that soundbite, that their origin is sinful. Well, we know the Quran obligation, or I shouldn't say obligation, but I guess I could say obligation, but objective is really to make corrections first, and then to continue for the string C's, and then finally to make a completion of previous scriptures. And so the correction of born in sin, the Quran, has corrected that origin that many people believe, that we're not born in sin, but our originality or our origin is in excellence, moral excellence. And so how can we easily prove that? Is that most people, I mean, when I say most people who are sane and really trying to be fair to themselves and have justice to their beliefs, technically desire good over evil, or good over bad, and that if we desire what's best versus desire what's negative or whatever. And so it's within our nature that we want to be good. That's the final conclusion. And so that shows where the Quran is a correction, then a continuation and a completion of previous scriptures. And so when we have corrected that negative soundbite, then we try to move towards fulfilling all obligations, which is ayat in the Quran, O ye who believe, fulfill all obligations. And so one of those is fulfilling obligations that we really render towards trying to be is morally upright. We would prefer to be good versus to be bad. And so that's the words make people, that defines our origin or our beginning or our destiny or what we try to strive for, because we know Quranically too, it also recommends that we strive towards all that's good. And so the Quran gives us many recommendations or suggestions towards righteousness or goodness. And so we should understand what on what life is really all about is that we try to do what's good, we try to do what's right, and we don't feel good when we're not doing what's right. Even though a person may be overwhelmed sometimes in corruption or evilness or negative detrimental things, deep down they want to correct and really hate that form of life. And so that tells us within our very nature, innately, is that we really want to be honest and truthful and decent and upright and want to respect, want people to respect us, you know, and we want to treat others the way we want to be treated. So a lot of things goes right back to our desires or our perceptions of life, and that is we want to be good. And so let me stop, Brother Henry. So, you know, feel free to make your comments and suggestions or questions, and likewise for the general audience. If you have a question or comment pertaining to our subject tonight, please feel free to press 1, and we'll bring you in the queue as soon as possible, inshallah.
Unfortunately, Brother Henry's call has dropped.
Okay.
But we invite anyone that would like to join this most beneficial conversation that you press 1 on your phone, and I will unmute your mic. If we would go to a public service announcement, Brother Henry, that will allow everyone to, inshallah, press 1 on their phone. If you're ready for that.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Okay. This is American Muslim Blog Talk Radio, the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by Dr. Jamal Rashid and Henry Hasib. We shall pause now for public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
This is Mark Shaheen.
And I'm Hanifa Shuaib Peters.
Join us and our co-host, Naima Latif, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab each and every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We will be discussing awesome parenting tips, give you an idea of how to support your child developmentally, and how your child plays a role in the entire family structure, and your role as a parent to support their growth and development.
And we ask that you bring your questions and concerns about parenting and proper family construction to the lab, where we can extract correct information that we can put into practical application in terms of parenting and family construction.
I have a master's in early childhood education. I can't wait to hear you on the line with us on Thursday evening for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab.
Thanks, and this salam is for you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we're back. We're, this is the broadcast of the Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by Dr. Jamal Rashid and Brother Henry Hasib. Dr. Jamal Rashid?
Yes, sir. Okay, I want to share with the listening audience that we truly have been blessed with technology has blessed the Quran in Arabic language to be made easy. You know, Imam Qasim Akhmed has a title of, I think it's Arabic Quranic Workshops, Quran Made Easy or something to that effect, but, which is excellent, by the way. But I was able, you know, praise be to Allah, alhamdulillah, to go to a bookstore, an Islamic bookstore today in Evanston, Illinois. And what I learned, because I was looking for what information or DVDs or CDs that enables you to learn the Quran or Arabic. You know, I can read Arabic, but I'm not fluent in it. And actually, I think it's four letters that are not compatible or similar to the English sound. And so once I can, like, that's one letter, I mean, one word within that letter that it's not common for us to translate like the B is, you know, the B, B, Babi, Boo, and the N, Nani, Nu, things of that nature. You know, it's easier to translate certain Arabic letters. In fact, all of them except for four, and I just said Dawreen. So it's not a letter in the English language that reminds you to easily learn how to translate. But what I discovered, and the employee of this bookstore, he showed me, is that they have come up through technology that it's like a magnetic pen, that if you take that pen and you actually place it on these design books or booklets that have Arabic letters, it actually, once you put that pen on that letter or that word, it actually pronounces the word for you. That is a tremendous help in helping you teach yourself. Because all you have to do is take this magnetic pen. I'm calling it magnetic pen, you know, just to hopefully help people understand what I'm speaking of. But it's like a marker that if you take that pen and put it on Maliki, Maliki King, Maliki Yalmikdin, if that's the word, if you place it on Malik or Maliki, it actually will say it, you know, a voice or electronic voice or whatever will actually say the word for you. So that is a tremendous help in allowing us as learners of Arabia, which is Arabic, to hear the sound. So we don't have to have a physical person to be the teacher. They have transformed or developed through technology this type of advancement. And I know, I'm not going to think or I feel, I know that is a tremendous asset. Not a liability, but an asset of tremendous help to help people learn the language. Although we don't have no excuses. But, you know, Satan, that's one of the schemes he uses. He supplants in our minds and make an excuse. And so some people have made an excuse why they have failed to learn Arabic or Arabic. You know, and that's what Satan does. He supplants or hides in our thoughts and bring it up as a justification for why we haven't learned or will not learn whatever, for whatever reason, that our Satan operates to make an excuse, an alibi, or justification. But no longer is that the case when you can just take a pen that they have designed and put it right next to a word on the booklet that they have produced. And the cost is real cheap. I mean, $110 for that kind of assistance. And then he offered a discount. And so, you know, look how many things we spend money on that is nowhere near the value of having this type of product in our possession. And so we can, on our own time, because, you know, time, I always like to use Malcolm, because these are words, too. We haven't left the subject. Words make people. So every time I say a word, words make people. And so now we're taking this information, which is a word that enables us to learn Quran on our own time. And what I was getting ready to say is time, I always try to refer to it that time, like everything else in creation, is dualistic. And so either we serve time or we allow time to serve us. I mean, those are the options. Either we allow time to serve us or we serve time. And so unfortunately, too many people do not allow time, which is our time, to serve us. In other words, we waste time. Our time goes towards nonsense, you know. And, of course, I'm not speaking 100% about everybody. We have a lot of people who live their life just like the example was set by the well-known time management that Malcolm X used when he went to prison. He didn't serve time, but he allowed time to serve him. And so that's the easiest example of words make people again, because he used that word of time management, and you know the rest. He taught himself by learning the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And secondly, he's well known to have read the full Quran, the full dictionary. And because that is the diet that he fed off of, we know the brilliant mind that he was able to produce just because of how he managed time. And a rhyme, it didn't cost him a dime. But we see how the time management is a reference commodity or a very valuable creation, that if we only use that properly, well, we allow time to serve us. If we just did that, all our minds would expand unbelievable, because we'd be able to discover how brilliant we are, because we begin to become diligent students towards the study of this creation. You know, and so that's just an example of time management and how we, as the Khalifa, the engineer, the jet pilot, the conductor, the captain of the ship, which is we are supposed to manage ourselves by the selection process. Because we're the only creation in all of this creation that have the gift to select time, or to select not only time, but what we'll do with that time. And so we're the only creations that have the power of choice. And you know, animals and birds and insects, they have choices. They make choices too. But a lot, most times, and not all times, their choices come from instinct or what is in their nature. And their nature is basically to feed, to eat. During that time of reproduction, they are striving towards that. And thirdly, and least not most, you know, third but not least, is they are on alert. They're on guard against predators. because they know if they slip up, that's it for them, because there are predators out there. And so they instinctively, they are equipped with camouflages and certain assets that Allah has built in them to survive. And so, you know, we too have been given certain assets, but, you know, our creation is a little bit deeper than animals and insects and birds and et cetera. But many times we don't use our assets or our skills that we have and the power of choice to avoid predators. And predators in this sense is wasting of time or mismanagement of time. Then that becomes a predator that wipes human beings out. Easily how you can understand that is a person who devotes themselves towards skill development versus a person who devotes their time towards nonsense, then we know the consequences are quite different. And so a person who is devoted to a skill versus a person who's devoted to a shield, the outcomes are quite different. And so a predator, on human terms, is that many of us have been tricked, hoodwinked, bamboozled, or conned, and had to chill more than skill. And when we make those bad choices, you know, the consequences. We are unskilled in a skilled society. And so we have fallen victim to a predator, and that predator is our own bad decision making. That's quite clear. But yet, too many people, even after hearing this, will still continue to be in a bad habit of non-skill devotion. Because why? It's because we're chilling. You know, that overwhelms us. That's words make people, too many of us, and what I should say too, in conjunction to that, is that one of the most, or not most, but all human beings striving towards is pleasure. But simultaneously, we're at the same time trying to avoid pain. So that's the word. Again, word and definition of human life is striving towards pleasure while simultaneously trying to avoid pain. And because that is the atmosphere of human life, many of us fall victims to this predator that's called pleasure, and that's what Satan promises fun. And there's nothing wrong with fun if you understand how fun can be used positive. So if you engage in positive fun, there's nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, too many of us are consumed, confined, constricted, limited in negative pleasure. And that's what Satan promises. Fun, relaxation, chilling, good time, etc. But we fall victim to that predator of thinking we feeling good. And when we skill, oh man, you talking about pleasure coming after skill? Look at that. How much pleasure we can enjoy in this vast, vast world that Allah has created. How much joy and fun we can have when we do what's right. And it's just simply, if we just become skilled, we can have a lot of fun. But look at people who misuse their skills and become exploiters. And because they exploit, you know, you have misery by decision makers, at the hands of decision makers, who generally are called politicians, who are puppets to lobbyists, whose best interest is in profits over the best interest of the people. Yes, sir. So, again, if we have a caller or a listener that wanted to comment on tonight's subject, which words make people, you know, simply press 1 and we can bring you in the queue.
We have with us Brother Henry is a present. He is back with us now. Brother Henry
yes.
is back with us.
Okay, great.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. If we doesn't have any callers in the queue at this time, I would like to make a comment on that because, you know, when we really have to examine this, as we say, words make people, and, you know, some people, when we say this, they think it's maybe words that's in a book and all, but the thing that feeds the mind is a word. And, you know, we say words, and I heard one brother say you add an L to that, then you got worlds. Words make worlds also. Make the environment, create the environment that we live in. So if we're not happy with the environment that we're living in, then we got to go all the way back to the words again that made that environment and change those words. So we can build upon the kind of environment that we would like to have. I heard you say earlier about, you know, the Quran and being able to read the Quranic language that's in the book. And a lot of times you will hear us as Muslims, we'll be saying, oh, you know, I cannot learn that Arabic. But Allah says, the creator, the one who revealed this book, he says that it's easy. So when we take words, when we take our words and go against Allah's words, then, of course, we're going to be punishing ourselves, and it will become hard to you because you told yourself it's hard. I heard another person say that the hardest person to teach is a sinner. And I thought about the hardest person to teach is, and the reason why the sinner is the hardest person to teach, and what we talk about teaching in the way of changing or giving different words to change their mode of thinking or their environment, is because they work hard to defend the wrong thinking that they think is right. So they actually fight you rather than submitting to learn a better way. They actually spend their time fighting you, trying to prove whatever they think is right, rather than being able to listen. So we have that also that we have to deal with, and words making people. I just wanted to add that little bit to it there, why I had a moment. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, like Mr. Lam, you know, in conjunction to what you said, what word that came to my mind, which is a perception or a conception as well, is that emotion called fear. Fear, again, is a creation, and it is also dualistic. In other words, fear can be our best friend or it can be our worst enemy. And so when we understand that many times what prevents us or controls us or confines us or actually incarcerates us is fear. Afraid, scared, don't want to. And so a lot of times we back up. And why do we back up and don't take that step? It's because of fear. And so when we, in other words, when we grow and develop, and which is maturity, then we can begin to unlock, take away, remove, defeat various elements or substances that cause non-production. And so we become... That's leadership. Of who? Of us. You. Me. That's leadership. Because leadership now takes on directions and recommendations and suggestions. And so we're able to pick our destiny or choose our destinies. And you know what's so good is that we can record, so we don't have no excuse about I can't write. Because a lot of people didn't take notes, for example, because they use the excuse, you know, I don't have a formal education. I can't write as good or as fast as I hear, so, you know, my way of learning. But now that's nullified. That's gone. Why? It's because you can record. And so what we're saying is technology has been a both a huge benefit, a huge blessing, but also negative technologies has become a predator. And how is the technology a predator? Look how much wasted time or non-productive time some people engage in toys. That's called technology. And so a lot of people consume a whole lot of prison time. You know, they serving time. Playing a game. Whatever the game is that centers around technology, they are serving time. So where you been? Locked up. You know, so how you spend your 24/7? Locked up. Why? It's because people that I'm describing, they spend a whole lot of time playing a game. Which is a shame. You know, I always like to rhyme sometimes because we're hooked on rhyme. So sometimes that attracts some of you. And so, you know, but unfortunately, it's a shame when we spend too much time that amounts to just a game that is non-productive or game. And so a lot of people don't grow and develop and mature and advance in their individual life, which is reflected to their family life as well as a hindrance to the community life. It's because of bad decisions, which all centers around words make people. I mean, this is beautiful when we can grow to understand the impact and consequences and results of understanding the full ramifications of words. And we're speaking both of negative and positive words because, unfortunately, the duality of creation shows that words that cause detriments or detrimental results also, if we understand how we can implement positive words, we can get positive results. That's the beauty of understanding Iqra, read Bismillah in the name of your Lord. That's beautiful. But that was the first, very first. So if it was the first, it has great implications of what it actually entails. If it was the first revelation, then it means it has to have some value or great value in it. And it pertains to what we should be doing. And that is reading or learning or developing and maturing. That should be a top-notch obligation and towards skill building. But look how we've been duped. To waste our time towards chill. And again, I used to tell my students all the time, if you learn how to kill chill, then you can skill. And so I leave it like that. That's a sound bite. But hopefully that's that germ or that seed will germinate or grow and develop in their minds that one day they will understand that time management is crucial towards their pleasure. Crucial. And then you look at the other hand, how some people have become what we consider fortunate to have money and then misery. And so, as they say, money cannot buy happiness. And you have a certain segment of physically, you know, well-off people who are miserable because they use their decision-making authority to exploit and misuse and be unjust to not only themselves but into society at in general or at large. And the exploiters. And so that gives, you know, some directives on how those individuals who I don't know if I want to use the word fortunate or blessed or whatever, but people who have been gifted to a degree of having some assets to materialism, I mean having power per se to make a difference in society, they misuse that gift and become exploiters or predators and take advantage in various forms of discrimination towards those who may be underprivileged or not privileged at all in forms of what we might call material possessions. Yes, sir.
And Dr. Rashid.
Yes.
That is something that we really have to caution Muslims about, too, because the Satan don't distinguish any of us. He hates the human being. And in the environment we're in, a lot of times I see Muslims, I see them in their growth stage, and maybe economically they start becoming better off, and they start taking on an attitude that's un-Islamic. And you really have to be careful, because it's Satan, and then they start taking on philosophies that's un-Islamic because of the popularity of it in the society that is against really the Islam and against the human being. We really have to be cautious. And the word that you were saying about fear, another word you can use for that is cautious, especially when we talk about the good fear. There's nothing wrong with being cautious. But the only fear we want to have is to be the fear of our Creator, and that's even a reverence for our Creator. So I just wanted to add that to it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, that's my salam. And so with that, you know, again, we want to understand that, you know, Satan doesn't discriminate whether you're a Muslim or Christian or whatever. He, as you say, he prefers to undermine the growth and development of all people. You know, but again, he hides under justifications and excuses and alibis. So, in other words, he supplants that, those strategic words, into our religion. And so and then you have people who actually have a concept or perception that's called excuses or justifications or alibis that they think gets them off the hook of being held responsible for their actions. And so that becomes a jail cell that too many people fall in, because they have had a misconception control or take over their thought process. And so we're speaking of caution. You know, and that's why Allah recommends A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. To seek refuge with him. Let's seek refuge. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Seek protection, guidance from the all-knowing, the all-seeing, because we don't see everything. We can't see everything. And a lot of times when we see, we try, Satan puts in again a justification as an alibi. And so we try to dismiss what we have seen because we have what we call an ego, or maybe a self-esteem, not only maybe, but a self-esteem that we don't want to be injured with words. And so we're defensive in trying to protect our own domain. And so, again, if we try to justify or excuse or use an alibi to try to dismiss us from being held accountable, we're in trouble. From a predator that's called self, self-justification. And so, you know, if I have to just research and look at that more closer or more deeper to see how we hold our own self captive or enslaved or incarcerated, based on beliefs that happen to be coded as a justification for what we believe or the way we feel, think, and act. And so we have to be critical of ourselves in a just manner, and so that we don't hurt ourselves more based on false beliefs that we have inherited as a justification. So it's important that we understand the various tools that Satan uses to captivate and hold individuals captive. And captive means that, you know, we are prevented from our own decision-making process, from real growth and development and productivity. And so people spend, we might say, develop a lot of time towards captivities that they finally realize, man, look how much time I have wasted. Man, I spent a lot of time in that area that I could have been doing something else towards, you know, a different ramification. But, you know, sometimes it takes us to go through a lot of bad experiences for us to really wake up and turn things around. Again, some people never grow up. And growing up means that they never come to positive conclusions about various beliefs or concepts that really held them back or held them down from being a more constructive versus destructive individual. And so, again, you know, we pray to Allah that, you know, the audience that's in our voices tonight are better able to understand this profound soundbite, words make people. And actually, you can talk about this forever, and still, I mean, you almost get to page one if this was a textbook. Page one. There's so much information that you can illustrate and examine. And I guess cross-examine. We still can't get to page two because there's so much information to be learned and understanding to be understood about words make people. Very profound. And so maybe the next generation, you know, grow into more or levels of development in this one soundbite, But inshallah, hopefully we don't have to wait for one generation down or up or forthcoming or around the corner. But, you know, we can take hold to this and move forward immediately to advanced stages of development, because it has so many implications of real progress towards success. And we're speaking of success as advancements towards productivity instead of being held back in non-productive activities. And, you know, that's where most societies are. I can't say most societies, but a lot of communities within America, a lot of times people are consumed being confined to non-productive time activities. And so that's a lot of wasted time. Yes.
Oh, okay, Dr. Jamal.
Okay, actually, what you say now? Oh, it's time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So we want to conclude and thank Imam Hamid again for your assistance, you know, valuable assistance, you know, in helping us operate communications. And we thank you and Brother Henry, thank you for the time we spent together. And may Allah continue to bless us in our efforts to uplift humanity. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Hey, Jake.
I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me. I shook up the world. I'm the king.